Boker Tov, good morning, Shavuot Tov. Today's daf is daf Kaf Dala, daf 24. We left off at the bottom of the page on Kaf Gimel, Amud Bet 23b, about 8 lines from the bottom of the page at the Mishnah. Mishnah begins. Let's jump right in. Ezu tam ve'ezu mu'ad. What is a tam animal and what is a mu'ad? So the Gemara says, Mishnah says, mu'ad kol she'idu bo shelosha yamim, that they testified against the animal 3 days. Meaning 3 days that he did a dangerous act that killed, so therefore that would be mu'ad. Not 3 times, rather 3 days. Ve'tam, and a calm animal, mishiyachazor bo shelosha yamim, divrei Rabbi Yehuda, that it went 3 days without attacking. That's tam, it comes back to its calm stage. That's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Rabbi Meir says, mu'ad she'idu bo shelosha yamim, mu'ad, that it testified against this animal that it killed 3 times, not 3 days in a row, or 3 different days, rather 3 times. Vitam, and a calm animal, if let's say the children are poking the animal and it doesn't gore them, that's a calm animal. So the Gemara says, what's the reason for Rabbi Yehuda's opinion? Amar Abaye, he says, based on a pasuk, it says in the pasuk, right, let's just look at the pasuk, on noda kishor nagachu mitemol shilshom. It says, it became known to you that an ox gored from the day before yesterday. So the Gemara says, temol is yesterday, chad, that's 1 day. Mitemol, it could have just said temol. Why does it say mitemol? Today, that's 2 days. Shilleshom, the day before that, that's 3 days. Tlata, veloish merenu be'alav, and that means, atan lenegicha revi. Therefore, the fourth time, they would be considered a mu'ad, and they would have to pay, if they didn't guard his animal, and the animal gored a fourth time, you would have to pay your full damage from the aliyah, but not from the third time. Meaning, you pay from the fourth time. Oh, mazal tov. Okay? So that's for the fourth time. So that's his opinion. So meaning he says, based on his opinion, Rashi explains, "Im lo shemarom nagach negicha revi'it, mishlem aliyah nezek shalem, aval shlishit palgan nizkam unim shalem." For the third time that he gored, it would be only a half a damage, but the fourth time, meaning the fourth day, rather, not the time, but the day, so he has 3 days, then he becomes mu'ad, the fourth day that he gored, he would be considered having to pay full damage. That's Rabbi Yehuda. Rava says, temol, mitemol, chad. Temol mitemol, he says, is one day before. Shilasham, the day before that, Trey, that's 2 days. Veloish merenu, and if you didn't guard him, aidna, now chayav. So therefore, he says the third day that animal gored, he would right then and there become a mu'ad, and you'd have to pay the full damage for that third day. Rabbi Meir, Maitama. Okay, Rabbi Meir, according to you, what's your reason that you say it's 3 times, not 3 days? Right? The difference is very clear. So he says, "Detanya the bride says, Amar Rabbi Meir, flipping the Amud, Richek negichotav chayav, kirev negichotav lo kol sheken." If let's say somebody distanted his gores 3 different days, we said he's liable. If someone did it on 1 day, how much more so that he's liable? Why wouldn't he be liable? So Amrule, they said to him. So Amrule or Amrulo, they said.
Maybe that day was
okay, wait. So Zava tochiach. Let's learn from a Zava. Shurichekar reyotea temea. Kirva reyotea tehora. Is Zava, how does she become temea? If she sees emissions come out, so she needs to see on 3 different. Rashi explains. If her re'iyot, if her seeings were on 3 different days, she saw 3 different days, then she becomes tmeah. Whereas if it was all on 1 day, she's not tmeah. She's shomeret yom keneged yom. She just waits to watch till the next day. So therefore you see that there's a case of a woman that it needs to be on separate days. So to be we would say it would need to be on separate days. How can you explain? So Amar Lahen, Rabbi Meir would say, Harehu Omer, that's why it says in the Pasuk, Vezot tiyet tumato bezavo, this should be its tumah. In his zov, talah katuv et azav bereiyot, et azav v'yamim. It made a connection for the male zav to have this do with the times that he sees the semen emissions, and the woman with the amount of days, meaning the woman is specifically with days. It's a gzerata katuv here, not like our case where it's not based on gzerata katuv. So the Gemara says, "Mimai dehai vezot meute zava mereiyot." How do we know zot in the pasuk is coming to exclude a zava from the amount of time she sees? Rather, she needs to see on 3 consecutive days to become tmeah. So the Gemara says, "Ema lemaute zav miyamim." Why don't we say it's coming to exclude a zav from separate days? How do we know that it's coming to exclude a woman from the amount of time seeing on 3 times on 1 day? So Amar Kra, it says, "Vahazav et zavo zazachar v'nekeva." Says male and female. So makish zachar nekeva. We have a hekesh. Man nekeva biyamim, av zachar biyamim. Just like a lady is with separate days, she becomes tmeah. So to the male, on separate days, he becomes tameh. The Gemara says, "Velakish nekeva lezachar." Why don't we make a connection between the woman to the man? Mas zachar beriyot, af nekeva beriyot. Just like the male, he becomes tameh with three times seeing, even if it's all on one day. Say the same thing by a female. Why do we exclude that? So the Gemara says, "Hamiet rachmana vezot." That's why it says vezot, to exclude such a case. And where it says Umar Ra'ita, okay, why did you see to exclude that and not exclude this? So he says Mistabra Kai Bereyot Mema'et Re'iyot Kai Bereyot Mema'et Yamim. The pasuk is talking about Re'iyot, the amount of times you see. So it makes sense that Vezot is coming to exclude Re'iyot, that by the woman, the amount of times she sees is not what makes her tameh, but she needs to see on three consecutive days. It doesn't make sense that the pasuk is talking about re'iyot, the amount of times you see, and it's coming to exclude yamim, the amount of days in a row. So therefore, that wouldn't make sense, and that's why we exclude the woman from the amount of times. Tan Rabbanan, we have a braita. Eze mu'ad, what's a mu'ad? Kol she'idu bo shosha yamim, they testified against it 3 days. V'tam shiyu atinakon mimash pushin bo v'eno geach, diver b'yosi, that the animals, the children poke it, and it wouldn't gore, that's a calm animal. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon says, mu'ad animals, kol she'idu bo shalosh pe'amim, if they testified against it 3 times, not 3 days, v'lo amru shalosha yamim, ele lechazara bilvad, they only said 3 days with regards to returning to a tam, that he needs 3 days without goring to become a tam again. Amar Nachman, Amar Avada Bar Avua, Bar Ava, Halacha Rabbi Yehuda be Mu'ad, the Halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda by a dangerous animal, Sha'arei Rabbi Yossi Modelo, because Rabbi Yossi agrees with him, Halacha Rabbi Meir be Tam, and Halacha follows Rabbi Meir by a calm animal, Sha'arei Rabbi Yossi Modelo, because Rabbi Yossi agrees with him. Meaning in our Mishnah, when we said Rabbi Yehuda says that it's 3 times for a Mu'ad, 3 days for a mu'ad, and Rabbi Meir said a tam is if the children poke it and it doesn't gore. Halacha is like both of those opinions, because Rabbi Yossi holds like that. Amar le Rav Ader Rav Nachman, Rav Asis Rav Nachman, v'leima mor halacha Rabbi Meir be mu'ad. Why don't you say halacha is like Rabbi Meir by the mu'ad? That's 3 times. Sharei Rabbi Shimon modelo, because Rabbi Shimon agrees with him. Halacha Rabbi Yehuda betam, and halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda in a calm animal, that it's 3 days for him to return back to calm. Sharei Rabbi Shimon modelo, because Rabbi Shimon agrees with him. Why are you saying we go like Rabbi Yossi and not like Rabbi Shimon? So Amar Lehi said to him, Anak Rabbi Yossi Sirali, the Rabbi Yossi Nimuko Imo. I hold like Rabbi Yossi, because Rabbi Yossi's reason is always with him. Rabbi Yossi, all over Shas, he would always explain his reasoning. And therefore, that's why he held like, this is actually probably where they came up with the commentary, came up with the Nimuke Yosef. Nimuke Yosef.
Is that the Shimon, Rabbi Shimon, Rashbi or Rashbag?
Rabbi Shimon, I don't know, I think it's Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Rashbag is Rabban Shimon Gamliel, so I would assume it's Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai.
Right.
But Halakha follows Rabbi Yossi because he has his reasoning with him. So the Gemara says, by the way, we have a question. Shalashay Yomim de Katane, the 3 days that you said, Le'ude Torah, Le'ude Gavra, does that make the ox a mu'ad? Does that make a person, the owner, the mu'ad? The Gemara says, the mind of Kamina, what's the difference? So the Gemara says, the atut lata ki teza hadeh v'chad yoma, if 3 sets of witnesses came on one day, if you say they're coming to make the ox mu'ad, that makes sense. They'll make the ox mu'ad. But if you say they're coming to make the owner mu'ad, they don't make him a mu'ad. Why? Because you're going to come and see. He can come and say, hashta, he can just say, hey, this is the first time that I'm getting warned. How can I become a mu'ad if it's all in one day? It's my first time getting warned. So the Gemara says, "Mai, what's the din? Tashema, come and listen. In hashor naase muad ache idubo b'fnei ba'alim u'b'fnei beitin. The ox does not become a muad until it's testified in front of the owner and in front of the beitin. Mazal tov. Okay, ache idubo b'fnei beitin v'shelo b'fnei ba'alim. If let's say they testified against him, against this ox, in front of the beitin, but not in front of the owner, b'fnei ba'alim v'shelo b'fnei beitin, or let's say in front of the owner, not in front of the beitin, ein ona asa muad. It's not become muad ache idubo b'fnei beitin v'fnei ba'alim until they testify against this animal in front of the beitin and in front of the owners. Heidu shnayim barishona u'shnayim b'shniya u'shnayim b'shishit. If let's say there are 3 instances with 2 sets of witnesses on each case. Harikan shalosh eduyot, that's 3 sets of testimony. Vehen edut achad la'azama, but that's 1 testimony when it comes to edim zomemin. Edim zomemin is if let's say you have another 2 witnesses come and say, hey, these 2 witnesses were with us that day. They couldn't have been there. So then this whole group now, all 6 of them, becomes batel, their testimony, because they're all considered 1 testimony when it comes to edim zomemin. Nimtzet kat rishona zomemet. If the first group of two is considered conspiring witnesses, they're liars. Harekan shtei eduyot. So now there's two sets of witnesses left. Vehu patur ven peturin. The guy they were testifying against is exempt, and the first set of witnesses is also exempt because they don't get the punishment that they tried to give unless all of the six of them become zomemin. That's the rule. Nimtzet kat shnei zomemet. If the second group of two became liars, harekan educh achat. That's only one testimony left. Vehu patur ven peturin. The guy they were testifying against is exempt, and the first two sets of witnesses are also exempt. Nimset kat shelishit zomemet. If let's say the third group also becomes zomemin, kulan chayavin. All three sets of witnesses are liable now because the pasuk says va'alzen emar va'asitem lo kasher zamam. You do to the lying witnesses what they plan to do to that guy. So therefore, we give them the punishment. Why is it bringing all of this? The Gemara explains. I amart leya ude Torah. If you say it's trying to make the ox a mu'ad shapir, that makes sense what we're trying to do. Ela I amart leya ude gavra. But if you're saying you're trying to make the man, the owner, mu'ad, lem ruhan nach kamai, why don't the first set of witnesses just say, anan mihava yadina debata shelosha yomei atuhanin mi'adeilei? Did we know, the first set of witnesses can say, did we know that after 3 days, these other witnesses are going to come and make the man into a mu'ad? We had no idea. So therefore, it doesn't make sense for it to be making him into a mu'ad. So Amar Rav Ashi, Amrita Lishmata Kamei de Rav Kahana. They said this lesson in front of Rav Kahana. Ve'amar li, and he said to me, Le'udei Torah minicha? Are you even able to make the ox a mu'ad in this case? Ve'leim rohanach batraye. Why don't the last set of witnesses just say, Anan mina yad inan de kol de kaye be dina la sude be Torah ka'atu? Why don't the last set of witnesses just say, how do we know that everyone who came into the Beit Din to testify, they're coming to testify against the ox? Anan l'chayuvi gavra palgan nizka'atenan. We're not coming to make the ox a mu'ad. We're coming to get our half a payment of damage from the owner. So how would they know that the first set, second set of witnesses are even coming to testify against the ox? So the Gemara answers, no. The kamaramze ramuze. They were hinted to by the other witnesses. Meaning, the other witnesses hinted to them saying that we're going to testify against the ox. So therefore, they knew that they're going to testify against the ox. Rav Ashi says, kishibau ritzufim. No. The answer is, the witnesses came one after another. So they intertwined with one another on the way in and out, and they were able to know what they were coming to testify against. Hey, what are you testifying against? Oh, the ox. Okay, let's make him a mu'ad. Ravina says, makirin balashor. Vein makirin et ashor. They knew the owner of the ox, but they didn't know the ox itself. So therefore, there's no way to say that they're coming to make the ox a mu'ad if right? If they don't know who the ox is. Right? Rashi says, they're only making him a mu'ad. So yodin be'edud arishonim, they knew the first testimony. If they didn't know who the ox was, how can they come and testify? So the Gemara explains, no. Hold on. So how do they make the ox a mu'ad if they don't know who the ox is? Hold on, it doesn't make any sense. If you don't know who the ox is, you can't make him a mu'ad. So the Gemara says, the Amri, they say to the owner, Torah de nagachna idlach bekaracha. He says that this ox that you have in your herd, he gored. Ibailach lenature lakule bakara. You have to guard now your whole herd because one of your oxes is a mu'ad. So therefore, this is how they come to testify against the ox, that he is a mu'ad, right? They come and tell him, we don't know who the ox is, but they say one of them is someone dangerous. Ibailo, we have a question. Hameshaseh kalbo shel chavero v'chavero ma'u. Let's say someone sends a dog of his friend against his friend. What's the din? Meshaseh vaday patur. The sender is exempt. Bal kelev ma'u. What about the one who sent it, the owner of the dog? So, mi'am rinan matzi amarle. Can he tell the guy who sent him, Anna Mayavinale, or you can tell the guy that caused damage to, what did I do to you? I didn't send the dog. I might be the owner, but I wasn't the one that sent the dog against you. Or Dilmar, perhaps Amrinale, or maybe you can say, since you knew that your dog was easy to get him to come and go against someone and attack someone, you shouldn't have kept him. You're not allowed to have a dangerous dog in your house. So which one is it? So Amar Bizera, Tashima, come and listen to the following. Vitam, what did we say a calm animal is? Shiyu atinokon mimash machine bo veino nogeach. The children poke at the animal and it doesn't gore. The ha nogeach hayav. Oh, so you can learn from that if it does gore, then you'd be liable. Oh, this answers our question. Huh? No, his point is to say that if... look at Rashi. Hanagach shor acher al yadei mishmush atinok chayav avabi deshisuihu. Even though he's sending it, still, in this case also, still you'd be liable. That's the point, is to say that even though someone sent the animal against him, you would still be liable. So the Gemara says, no, Amar Abayim, mi katanin nagach chayav. Did it say if the ox gored, you would be liable? Dilma hanagach. Maybe you can imply that if it gored, lo havetam, it's not a calm animal. Uvahi negichan lo mechayev, but you're not liable yet on that goring, full damage. So the Gemara says, Tashema, come and listen again. Shisabot akelev, or shisabot anachash patur. If you sent a dog to attack, or a snake, you would be exempt. So the Gemara says, my love, patur mishaseh. Is it not saying the one who sent the dog would be exempt? And where it says, V'chayav bala kelev, and the owner of the dog would be liable? So what do you see? The owner of the dog is liable. So the Gemara says, no. Lo. Ema patur af mishaseh. No, he meant to say, even the sender is exempt. Meaning, for sure, the owner of the dog is exempt. But even the sender of the dog is also exempt. And the last case, Amar Ava, Im timtzel omar ha-mishaseh kalbo shel chavero v'chavero chayav. If you want to say, someone who sends a dog again of his friend against a friend is liable, shisao hu be'atzmo patur. If he sends it against himself, to attack himself, he's exempt. Gemara says, my tama, what's the reason? Kol ha-mishaneh u'ba'acher v'shinabo patur. Anyone who does something unusual, and someone else comes and does an unusual, on that unusual, the second guy is exempt. So here, him taking this dog and putting it against himself, so therefore, the owner would be exempt from any penalties. He says, well, I'm liable for you to bring my dog and attack yourself? That's not my liability. He said to Rava, Itmar mishmei de Reish Lakish kevatech. He says, Reish Lakish, it was said in his name, just like what you just said. Amar Reish Lakish said, Shtei parot, Rishut Arabim. We had this earlier. You have two animals, two bulls in the public domain. Achad rabuta, achad mehalecha. One is crouching, one is walking. Uba'ata mehalecha berabuta, petura. If the one walking kicked the one crouching, what's the deen? We say that he's exempt. Whereas Revutam Malachet Chayevet, if the crouching one kicks and damages the walking one, you're liable. Why? Because that's the same thing. Animal crouching in the Rishut HaRabim is unusual. So you attack it, that's unusual. On an unusual, you're exempt. But if it was the one walking, that's usual. Attacking the walking one, that would be liable. Amar Lei, he said to him, no. Anna ba'i chayuve mechayevna. He says, I would say, even in the case of the crouching animal, that the walking animal attacked the crouching one, I would say you're liable. The Amra La, because I can tell you, ki itlach reshuta l'saguya alai. What do you have permission to do? He tells his animal, you have permission to walk upon me, but I'm crouching, you can walk over me. But liva'ute bi leitlach reshuta. But nobody ever gave this animal permission to go and kick these crouching animals. So therefore, in that case, he would even say that you'd be liable in such a case, even though it's unusual, because nobody ever gave you such jurisdiction to come and kick me, rather he only gave you the jurisdiction to walk over me. Okay, we'll stop there for today, and we'll do a 1-minute recap.